Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Pens Nation Radio Show with hosts Ken Will, Andy Hughes, Nick Richter, Joe Deco, and Mike Darnay. You can call into the show at 347-202-0344, or you can tweet us at the Pens Nation.
Good evening, hockey fans, and welcome to the Pens Nation Radio Show. This is your host, Ken Will Long, with Andy Hughes, Nick Richter, and for the first time making his National Hockey League regular season debut, Mike Darnay on the line here with us. Dude, how you doing, fellas?
All right.
Pens winners again on the island in New York. 3-0 win over the Islanders, scoring a goal in each period to lead 3-0. Marc-Andre Fleury picks up his 20th career shutout, two, I believe, behind Tom Barrasso for the all-time franchise lead in shutouts. Pascal Dupuy got the stuff started at 17:06 in the first period with a great setup from Brooks Orpik. And really, that play was just everybody on the ice stall. Really did a lot of great things down low to lead to that turnover leading up to Orpik, and he just dished it to Dupuy, who nice little play to get it behind the Bakov on a breakaway. Richard Park in the second period, early on in the second period, with that assist from Aaron Asham, scoring his second goal of the season, and then Jordan Staal in the third period with the icing on the cake at that empty net goal. To get things going and or to cap things off, I should say. And what about for you guys? What are some things that stood out that made this play? I mean, because really, when you look at the stat line, you know, it's really not as dominant as a game as it looks like when you look at a shutout. The Islanders actually had a 33-29 advantage in shots on goal at the end of the night. So what were the things that took this game to make it a 3-0 win for the Penguins as opposed to what we could have seen?
I think some of the quality chances that the Pens had in the first period, they had 7 shots on goal and 7 scoring chances. It kind of dictates a little bit of the play. If you're getting those quality chances, you're going to eventually put one or two of those in. But also, Marc-Andre Fleury just played out of his mind tonight. He had a couple great saves and really kept the Pens in the game.
Yeah. Marc-Andre Fleury with a huge game tonight. Pens had 14 shots in the third period too. New York's 10, so definitely good to see them get put on that late pressure there. And like Nick said, shout out to Marc-Andre Fleury. And yeah, I like what you've seen out of Richard Park and Pascal Dupuy with their goals tonight, and obviously Staal with the empty netter. Richard Park just had 13 minutes and 13 seconds of ice time, but he's really making the most of every second he's out there. They basically have like 3 Islanders on him, and he just shoots the puck and goes in the net. And
that deke was nice.
Yeah, Richard Park, just another nice goal, great effort. Pascal Dupuy, 1 goal and 1 assist tonight. Like you said, Ken, that really nice just overall play. What a pass by Brooks Orpik to give that to Dupuy. And Dupuy kind of takes – the Bakov kind of fell into the net almost because Dupuy was coming down there with so much speed. So just a great overall effort. And I thought that the defense played pretty well too. And I think Matt Niskanen had like over 4 block shots tonight, which was great. Considering Zibanejad McCullough was out. So just really small effort by the Penguins tonight.
Go ahead, Mike.
I was going to say Niskanen quietly played one heck of a game. You didn't hear his name too much on the bad side of things, but he quietly played very well.
You know who else I thought had a great game was Aaron Asham.
Yeah,
he's extended his scoring streak now. The Penguins, this is the longest scoring streak he's had with 3 games, but that play he had to set up Richard Park's goal was a beautiful little poke check that just kind of had the puck just tweak its way over to Richard Park, and then he made a little nice little deke and put it in. But Aaron Asham is quietly plugging away and doing a really good job as well.
Yeah, and Matt Cook on that play too, with putting a lot of pressure on the Markov down low to really make Richard Park's shot that much more effective, beating him up over the shoulder. As you mentioned, Matt Niskanen, we were just talking about on the show last night, going into the third period at least, he had 4 block shots. and he finished the night at plus one. He had about 17 minutes, 41 seconds on the ice. You know, Matt Niskanen and Ben Lovejoy, these guys are going to have to pick up the slack with the Mahalik out of the lineup, and at least one night in appears to be the case as they come away with a shutout, along with Marc-Andre Fleury, who, as you guys mentioned, played fantastic tonight. And, you know, he's not just making the stops. I mean, you see him come 20 net or 20 feet out of the net to challenge a shooter and make saves. You know, he's playing with a lot of confidence there, too. So it's good to see from Marc-Andre Fleury. I think he's only allowed 4 goals on his last, like, 150 shots. You know, it's that's in some impressive stats going on there. Also impressive, again, is the Penguins' penalty kill, allowing 0 goals, obviously, with a shutout tonight. That makes them they came into tonight's game 97% killing penalties, so they're getting close to the 98% mark on the penalty kill, which
it's unbelievable.
I almost can't say and actually believe myself, and that comes out of my mouth. They've only allowed 1 power play goal all season.
Yeah, they're 35 for 36. Crazy.
And the one they gave up was 4-on-3.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
In overtime.
Those are just some incredible stats and incredible numbers from the Pittsburgh Penguins at this point. And again, they're doing this all without a lot of their main talent or a lot of their starting lineup. Mahalik out of the lineup now. Sidney Crosby still hasn't played a game all season. Evgeny Malkin did return tonight. It was good to see on the Penguins roster. And he had a good game. He didn't show up on the score sheet, but he definitely did play well. Coming close to 20 minutes. I think he was 19 as far as his total minutes of the ice tonight. But it didn't look like he was rusty, though, and it didn't look like he was nursing that injury in any way, shape, or form either.
Yeah, I guess.
Go ahead, Nick.
I guess we'll just have to wait and see until the next practice day and to see how he really feels after that. But, like, you're right, it didn't look to be favoring anything or whatever. But I didn't think he looked that way whenever he was playing before. Not get too high or too low on it, but I hope he's back to 100% or at least as close as possible, and everything's going to be all right from here on out. But those knee injuries are tricky once the scar tissue starts to build up again, and it just kind of hurts. So it's good to see him back out there tonight playing well.
Yeah, he didn't seem to be holding back at all, and he was all over all 3 zones. He just looked so confident.
Yeah. And then in addition to the offensive play, he had a couple nice takeaways too, which was really good to see from Gino, just kind of that some defensive play. So it was great to see him out there and want to see how he feels at practice tomorrow.
Yeah, definitely. So lots of good standout players for the Penguins, and really nobody who, I guess – especially whenever you don't give up a goal against, who really stuck out as being bad. But we'd like to hear from you guys. Who are your heroes from tonight's game? And if you have a GOAT, someone who you weren't happy with their play, I want to hear a little bit about that, too. So guests can call into the show, 347-202-0344. Again, that number to call is 347-202-0344. Or you can get on us at Twitter, at The Pens Nation.
So, I guess for me, who really stuck out at was mainly Marc-Andre Fleury. He looked great, but I kind of wanted to talk a little bit about kind of our expectations. We talked a little bit about it last night, but was this the kind of game that you expected, I guess, whenever you thought about playing the Islanders the first time this season after what happened? And I know we played them once last year. And Mike, I'll get your take on this first, because we kind of talked a little bit about this last night with Ken and Andy and Joe. Is this what you expected, or did you expect it a little more something heated?
This kind of is what I was expecting, because if you look at the Islanders' lineup, minus Trevor Gillies, minus Michael Haley, they have a very skilled, young, fast lineup that lines up well against the Penguins. And, I mean, without Marc-Andre Fleury, this could have easily been a 3-2-3-3 hockey game.
Yeah. What about you, Andy?
Yeah, I kind of agree. I think, last night we all talked about we wanted to see a good hockey game, and we saw that. We saw a hockey game tonight. We didn't see, all those fights and everything. So it was good to see that. Like Mike said, without Fleury, this would be a good game, and you know, the Islanders do have a lot of skill in that lineup. You know, you got John Tavares, Grabner, you know, so fast. I mean, so, you know, they got some good players. So I enjoyed it. I thought it was a good hockey game. And so, yeah, definitely like what I saw tonight. I'm glad there were no fights or anything. So, yeah.
Ken, does this kind of game, like a 3-0 shutout, does this kind of put last year to bed, I guess, for the Pens? Are we able to move on now as Pens fans, or should we expect, like, the next time we play them, if Gillies or Haley or someone like that is in, is it the same? Is that rivalry back? Is it back to that hatred, or is the hatred done now?
I think the hatred is done for the most part. I think coming into tonight, it was already extinguished, and coming into the season period, everyone had kind of put it to bed for the most part. And if we were going to see anything, I think we kind of answered that question when the lineups were posted this afternoon.
Yeah.
And we realized that Trevor Gillies was not going to be dressed for the New York Islanders. It's kind of like, okay, that's done. They didn't dress their enforcer. Brent Johnson wasn't starting, so our enforcer was going to be on the bench. So we weren't going to have any trouble between the Pens and Islanders tonight. So, you know, we got a hockey game. We didn't get a sideshow, and it was good to see.
Yeah, I agree. I think you have to give props to both coaches to leave things out as much as they could, because they have as much play in that as anything. I mean, easily, Sam Bosman could have put Steve McIntyre in the lineup. Easily, Jack Capuano could have put Trevor Gillies in the lineup, and he could have a repeat of last year all over again.
And that being said, while last year's drama may be over, the next time Trevor Gillies plays against the Penguins, he could very quickly create his own drama starting all over again. So, you know, that's just the kind of player he is. And I mean, it's not like Matt Cook, where we talked about last night how he's reinvented his game. Trevor Gillies has nothing else to offer.
He's still Trevor Gillies.
Same with Michael Haley. You know, like, these guys have a very specific niche on that team. It seems like the NHL is getting more and more and more farther removed from that kind of style of play. And I can only hope that their time is kind of done, because, honestly, the league doesn't need a player like Trevor Gillies out there doing what he's doing. The guy's just a hired hitman. And, I mean, say what you will about fighting, if there's a need for it or not, but Trevor Gillies is not – that's not his only niche with it, I guess. He's just out there trying to just – obviously, to kill people. But,
I mean, hell, I mean, look, if you go online and get on YouTube, you will find videos of Trevor Gillies training at
MMA?
With MMA fighters, yeah. I mean, that's how he spends his off-season training. He's not, you know, he's not skating, or he's not doing power skating drills, or, you know, explosion strength and conditioning drills and stuff
like
that.
He's not trying to round out his game.
Not in any way, shape, or form. He's just trying to get people pinned down and knee them in the forehead. That's what he's learning how to do.
Here's an even better question, Ken. If you go on YouTube and look up Trevor Gillies, how long will it take you to find an actual highlight?
I'm on it right now. I'm doing research. I'm Bob Grubbing this one.
I bet you can't find one before the end of the show.
I never knew Bob Grove was a verb.
Absolutely. It means to be smart about anything.
Very
to be smart or to do the research. You see, we got
God, I hope he's listening to the show tonight. He is.
This is what we talk about. We got Bugard versus Gillies. That's the first video. Penguins Islanders second line brawl. Gillies elbowing Tom Grady. Gillies gets 10-game suspension. Gillies ejected after Clutterbuck hit. Gillies gets ripped like a bad report card at MMA.
Google.
Gillies at MMA fighting.
Gillies goals.
Trevor Gillies' first NHL goal, January 13th, 2011.
Oh, let me look at this one. This has got to be a beautiful highlight.
It was the first. He didn't score a goal until last January.
Look at this.
Oh, what a beauty.
Oh, man,
Crosby's a future winger.
They're skating.
Was it Richard Park setting him up?
For some reason, Trevor Gillies with the center drive just storms the net, and the
literally
right winger banks the puck in off his ass as he's running in the goal.
That's
his first national hockey league goal.
First goal.
That's slightly better than Max Talbot's first NHL goal.
And the Islanders bench is stunned.
Yeah. Well, if you would like to call into the mayhem that's going on right now, the hotline is 347-202-0344. And or you can tweet us at the Pens Nation. Love to hear what you guys have to say. Love to hear what you guys thought about the game tonight. Or just anything else, whatever you guys want to talk about, feel free to call in. I want to step away from the Trevor Gillies talk for a little bit, because we could go all night, honestly. We can go all night with just poking fun at that guy. He's a clown. But I want to talk a little bit about the Penn scoring depth this season. Obviously, we've missed Crosby all year. We've missed a good stretch of the season from not having Evgeny Malkin either, and Chris Letang for two games. But this team has really stepped it up, I think, offensively. You've got Pascal Dupuis. Now he's got 8 points in 11 games this year.
Yep.
Pascal Dupuis. Like, this guy is playing third, fourth line minutes. He's got 8 points in 11 games. Richard Park's got 6 points in 9 games. It seems like he's got 6 goals, but he's only got 2. But this guy is playing big time. These guys are almost at a point per game kind of clip, and these guys are nowhere near a point per game typical players. Matt Cook, 7 points in 11 games. James Neal, 9 points in 11 games. Jordan Staal, 9 points in 11 games. Guys, what does that say about our system as that Bylsma kind of installs here? I mean,
God. It works.
It works.
So, yeah, I mean, when you have guys like Richard Park putting up, like, pretty much 3/4 of a point every night.
Mm-hmm.
Something is clicking. Something is right. But I think the big thing that really stuck up to me on that was the Pascal Dupuis, 8 points in 11 games.
Yeah.
Talk about quiet. Like, this guy's been stealth.
Yeah, I mean, it just shows you that you can basically plug any kind of – if a guy fits into your system, he's willing to work hard, play hard, go out there every shift, play physical, forecheck. Any guy can fit into the system if they play like that.
Yeah, unless you're Marshall Test too.
True.
Richard Park, in his last 4 NHL seasons, he has not played fewer than 71 games. And, you know, he played 82 games in many of these seasons.
Yeah.
But he had, we're looking at seasons where he has about a 30 point per season guy. And these are the numbers he's putting up in the first 11 games. You know, that's impressive.
Well, he's only had 9. He's only played in 9 of those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he hasn't even dressed for every game. You're right.
I'm going to Bob Grove this. Hold on. Let me figure out points per game here.
The theme of the night.
So if he plays every game from here on out, let's just say he stays healthy enough, and he plays 80 games, times what, 6 points? He's on pace for 48 points.
Wow.
35 years of age.
As a fourth line, and third, fourth line.
Third and fourth line. This time last year, he was in Europe.
Yeah, and he's making $550K over league minimum right now. That is a solid signing by Ray Shiro.
Yeah, for sure. And I think getting back to Dupuis, I think that's another great signing by Shiro. You know, we talk about all the depth. I think Pascal Dupuis is a perfect example because, you know, when Tyler Kennedy goes down, you know Pascal Dupuis. Like, this guy can fill in pretty much anywhere. I mean, he can go on line one, line two, line three, line four. You know, he's played with Crosby.
Yeah.
He's kind of a typical – we like to think he's a third-line player, but he can step in any role, and I think that's why he's just so viable. So when Tyler Kennedy went down, you know, you always have Pascal Dupuis to fall back on, and he's done a great job, obviously, already with, like we got, you know, like we said, 8 points in 11 games. So that's another great signing by Shiro. So quietly, Pascal Dupuis has been producing.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about depth at center. Malkin was back tonight. Jeffrey, who's typically a center, played the wing tonight. That kind of shows you how good guys like Joe Vitale and Richard Park are playing, that you have a guy that is really good in the faceoff dot in Dustin Jeffrey. And he's playing wing tonight, and he logged under just 11 minutes of time. Obviously, Mark Letestu was a healthy scratch, and he played top-line minutes with the Pens last year with all the injuries and everything. It is just kind of continually looking more and more like this guy's the odd man out once all the forwards get healthy, once Crosby gets back. But it's almost as if, like, if you had Dustin Jeffrey, who's a prototypical center, now you're having to move him to wing. What an awesome problem. What an awesome logjam to have if you're Ray Shiro.
The problem is you actually have to tell yourself, well, Dustin Jeffrey is a great center and a great utility guy and really good in the face-off circle, as you mentioned. And honestly, he's much better at faceoff than, say, one of Gedi Malkin.
Yeah. And, you know what? Up until tonight, Malkin was actually fairly decent in the faceoff circle, so I'm going to give him a little bit of credit where credit is due. But tonight he was 2 for 7. I think it's pretty abysmal. But Jordan Staal was under 50% tonight, too. So a little bit of an off night for Staalsy.
Both those guys have shown a little bit of progress, but, you know, not as much as, I mean, when we're spoiled, when we look at, you know, Sidney Crosby's rookie season, you know, he was pretty bad.
He was horrible.
Yeah. Jericho as well. But, man, did he work on that.
Yeah, he's gotten 50%.
To where he is now, yeah. You almost wish that Staal and Malkin could show that kind of progress in that area of their game.
Could you imagine if they did? Like, honestly, especially defensive zone faceoffs, offensive zone faceoffs. That will...
And it's crucial.
Everything.
And you think about Bousma's style, because everything's so puck possession. If you have possession right off the start of a play, you know, I don't even want to know how many seconds or how many minutes or how many hours over the course of the season you're going to add to your time of possession when it comes to it. And, you know, in the style of play that the Penguins play, that could be crucial, especially when it comes playoff time.
And especially on lazy clearing attempts by the other team that turn into icing calls. You know, if they're out of timeouts or whatever, you have a very capable center core to be able to go in there and win the faceoff and keep that team on their heels, and you can create a lot of goals just off of that alone.
Yeah, same thing on the power play. I mean, you know, Malkin usually center in the first power play. You know, that's huge to get the first, you know, faceoff win and get the puck possession immediately and try to get a shot on net. So that would be huge if those guys can progress like Sid has when it comes to face-offs.
Yeah, I think if anybody's closer, it would probably be Staal. Malkin, I would love to see him get anywhere close to around 50-55%. If you can get him around there, then the top two lines are just going to be unbelievably potent to play against, and they already are. But if you start to add that puck possession game just off the bat, you're going to put a lot of teams on their heels, and they're going to be playing with a lot of trouble.
Yeah, it's almost borderline amusing. Sometimes you'll see one of our guys get kicked out, and it's like, oh, well, Craig Adams is coming in, so he got this.
And Adams isn't bad either, yeah. I mean,
no, not at all.
Man.
It sucks to be a Pens fan. So much.
Pretty rough.
Man, the guys we're talking about are barely making league minimum.
I know.
And we love them.
I know.
Oh, man.
Richard Park has opportunity to achieve veteran kind of cult status that only few Penguins have ever been able to hit, such veterans as Gary Roberts, Billy Guerin. Like, Richard Park has that ability, and he's making way less than either of those two had ever made right now. And speaking of Gary Roberts is now on Twitter. He signed up for Twitter, and he's Gary Roberts HPT is his Twitter name. So
Richard Park is approaching Jimmy Pack status. Lore.
Oh, man.
He could become the most famous Korean hockey player of all time, as opposed to the last place most famous Korean hockey player of all time, because there's only two.
Jimmy Pack's going to be jacked.
You say jacked, right?
Yes.
Okay. Making sure. Sound a little bit like something else, but we won't go too far into that now. But and Richard Park actually got a little bit of power play time tonight, and Hughes mentioned a power play as well. I'd say if there's any one disappointment in tonight's game, I think that the Pens power play is something that didn't really look that great tonight, as opposed to sometimes, you know, some other times throughout the season where it has shown some moments of some flash. But tonight it kind of sputtered, especially early on in that 4-minute double minor.
Yeah, well, they're still at 21% for the season on the power play, which is, 10% more than they did last year, something crazy like that. The Islanders, they didn't look very great on the power play either. They're only at 15% for the year. But you're right, the Pens, it didn't really have, like, the signs of life like they've shown that they're capable of doing this year. Another thing that kind of surprised me was Chris Kunitz only played 16 minutes tonight.
That is weird.
Yeah, he was quiet.
Yeah, and it was a plus two, but...
I thought Letang was quiet tonight, too.
Yeah, he was.
I was kind of hoping he was going to rip Tavares' head off.
Secretly, right?
Yeah. But he's already in Shanny's corner, so we don't want that.
Well, he, Letang led the way tonight with hits. He had four hits for the Pens. And,
man, how about when Engel up to Martin coming into the zone?
How about that?
How about that?
How about that, guys? Go on. What were you going to say about it?
No, just the hit that Engel threw on Matt Martin coming into the defensive zone. He seems to be getting his timing much better, getting guys right as they cross the blue line.
Yeah. I was surprised with England tonight. He had five block shots to kind of co-lead the way with Matt Niskanen. Between the two, he had 10 block shots tonight. Between a bottom pairing for the Penguins. So that is great to see people stepping up in the absence of Zdeněk Mikulajčuk. James Neal, though, did not step up with the block shots. He only had zero. Jerk. Pretty boy.
Yeah, he's a... He's a minus two on the season, too, James Neal, you know.
You know, another thing, you know, I thought Steve Sullivan had a great game. He could have had goal number one. He had it on his stick. It was on his stick, man.
That was a nice pass that he actually – no, I'm sorry. I'm thinking of a different play. Yeah.
It was rough. He tried to throw it back across the ice against – you know, there were three sticks in that passing lane trying to get it back. Across the ice to James Neal, but you know, his golden ticket, but he just didn't want to take that shot. But you know, he's still playing well. He's skating well. He's keeping up with the play. You know, all the things you worry about from an old guy, he's hanging in there. So you know, I'm not too worried about Steve Sullivan just yet. But you know, we definitely got to see that production start to come through.
Yeah, once he gets that monkey off his back, I think they'll start to come at. The only thing I'm really concerned about with someone like Steve Sullivan is his health, and it appears he's looking pretty ready, and he doesn't look at all unhealthy this year or like an injury-prone factor, which is great. I want to talk a little bit about the first game, or not the first goal, but the first shot for the Pens of the game, because we're just talking about James Neal a little bit with that too. What an amazing pass that he fed Malkin through two players.
Oh, yeah.
That was sick. How about that?
How about that?
How about that, Pat?
Yeah, I mean, he's got one assist on the season, but he easily shows that he could do more because that was a phenomenal pass through defense. Two defenders right on the tape of Evgeny Malkin, and Malkin just couldn't bury it home, but what a great opportunity. I love watching those two guys play together.
Yeah, they're showing a lot of chemistry, and I think that's a promising thing for the rest of the stretch down the season, especially once everybody gets healthy and we can get some regular lines going. I think that's another that's the underrated thing about these injuries is the damage it does to the chemistry of these the Pens lineup. You know, there's no way to establish any kind of consistency because you're always mixing and matching. You know, they're making it work and making it work within the system, but you know, you love to see Sullivan and Malkin playing together. You know, more than twice a month, you know, to actually be able to establish something.
Yeah. Well, let's go around the NHL a little bit before we end here. We've got about a minute and a half left. Just around the NHL real quick, we're talking a little bit about injuries, but Brad Boyes played his 500th consecutive game tonight. That kind of the longest active streak in the NHL right now. That is but if you play for the Pens, that would not be the case. And then another injury that was just kind of announced this morning, Chris Pronger last night took a stick to the face in that game, and he'll be out for 2 to 3 weeks. I love it.
Oh, ouch.
Yeah, now they don't have to fabricate some other reason why he's out of gas in April.
Or why he's going to have an even bigger gap in his teeth.
but Richard Park's mouth in a few days.
On a serious note, if you watch that play, you know, you got to be happy that it's not worse for Chris Pronger because
it
did look pretty serious.
Really see anybody get hurt.
And it's definitely going to reignite the debate, the visor debate across the National Hockey League. Whether people are going to wear them or not. And apparently, I think, are you going to mention about the Philadelphia Flyers?
Yeah, they said that when he comes back, he's wearing but wearing a face mask. Not a face mask, but a visor.
Basically, they're mandating him to do this. And the question is, are they going to do that for other players? And, you know, that's something we can explore down the weeks. But thank you for listening to the Pens Nation Radio Show. Tune in tomorrow night at 11 o'clock.
Overtime.
That sound bite.
Yeah, we do need something there.
Ruining our voices.
This is now overtime.
What we need to do is just take sound clips of, like, Pierre Maguire saying, overtime, overtime. Like, playing that.
What a save by Matthew Caron. You're saying it wrong, Doc. Doc, it's Matthew Caron. It's not French enough. Lord, did you hear him?
I think Caron plays with a big stick.
During the post-game interview tonight on Versus, he asked Benning and Cavalier if this is the best team that Matthew Garand has ever played on.
Lord.
That's a bit of a stretch this early in the season, first of all.
Matthew Garand won a cup.
He won a cup 3 years ago. Are you kidding me?
You want to ask him about it in October? Ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, it's par for the course for that dumbass.
He should have answered him, no, I've yet to play with Mike Richards.
He probably wasn't even watching the game tonight. He's probably watching Martin or something. He misses Mike Richards.
Martin? That show come on, like, in 1997, right after Living Color.
It's a trending topic right now on Twitter. So if you're wondering if it was random or not, a little bit, but...
I'm not going to lie, until I thought about it for a second, I had absolutely no idea what you were talking about.
You've eaten McRibs and watching Martin.
Al Martin.
Hey, what are the chances that Bruce Boudreau likes the McRib?
Oh, 100% chance.
No, if you watch...
He's the reason they actually bring him out right now.
I was amazed the night that Pens and Caps played, just them showing shots of the Caps bench and showing Bruce Boudreau sitting there. Does he look like he's lost weight?
Nope.
Took out Haagen-Dazs out of the diet.
He cut down to 3 times a day instead of 4.
Swear to God, he's dieting or exercising or something. Maybe he's actually skating during practices, or maybe he's skating during practices. I don't know.
Instead of just screaming.
Maybe he's taking dietary advice from his son more often. Dad, it's a good idea. Why do we eat this?
He's taking a dietitian class. Changed man. That's going to help him win games. He's got a little more room on the bench so they're not so crowded up there.
I told him to grab a sack.
Fair form tonight, guys. Fair form.
Weight loss with Andy Hughes. How is that going? What a take your
way.
I want to do Jenny Craig with you, Andy.
But, I went to Quaker Steak earlier tonight. I had 40 wings. So
yeah, I did too.
I was really excited.
Yeah, apparently Bruce Boudreau left a little bit for us, so that's great. You know who I miss?
Who?
Joe Depto.
Yeah, what happened to him?
He said he tried to call in to the show, and it said that our show was no longer on the air. So hopefully he's the only person having that problem.
Was that before or after we started tonight's show?
We'll have to unblock his number.
Oh, that was a mistake right there. Somebody shut the bear out of the den.
Couldn't poop. Jordan Staal, 6 goals. Unbelievable. He's on pace for over 40.
I can't wait to hear how many people. It was empty net.
Doesn't count. It barely went in. Jordan, he's so overpaid.
It barely went in. Like that.
You can go back working in the salt farm in the summer.
Traded for a Ginla.
Salt green.
Traded for Gordie Howe. Gordie Howe has got like a lot of goals.
Hey, Nick, can you Bob Grove James Neal's goal total toward the end of the year? I think he's on pace.
He's over 40. I think he's on pace for 46.
Yeah. So without Sidney Crosby in the lineup, if Sidney doesn't return, James Neal will score 46 goals. Can you Bob Grove slash Shazam, you know, Shaquille O'Neal's character from that movie?
Kazam,
I'm sorry.
Can you mix it?
I want you to, no, and mix those two people plus Madame Cleo from the Psychic commercials, and can you answer for me, how many goals is he on pace for if Sidney Crosby returns?
121.
Pop it into my mind now. That's more like Mr. Miyagi. I can't do it. I'm no international.
Well, Darnay was right on it, though.
Do it, Darnay. I'm going to Google Kazam.
Kazam? Wait, what was it? Was Kazam? What is Kazam?
Shaq is a genie.
Is this Shazam?
No,
Shazam is the app for the iPhone that tells you what song's playing.
Yeah.
Oh.
Shazam plus Bob Grove plus...
holy crap.
It's quite
Shazam, Shazam was released in 1996.
Minus Gary Roberts. I'm trying to figure out what math is. What was the other one? Kazam, Bob Grove, Miss Cleo. Was that it?
Yeah.
We'll throw Mike Lang in there and multiply Mike Lang times Mike Lang. Nah, we'll take Mike Lang out of the equation. All right. Kazam plus Bob Grove plus Miss Cleo minus Gary Roberts equals Brett Favre in Rio.
Oh, man.
He's going to score Brett Favre goals.
Peyton Favre? Four. Score four. Wow.
Man, okay, so between...
he's going to get negative four goals.
He's going to break Twitter.
Between Kazam and Living Color and Martin, we've just been referencing, you know, African American culture from the 1990s. All freaking overtime.
It's better than what we usually talk about before the show. So,
yeah, that's true.
I'm about to tweet this.
That's because, too. Are we allowed to talk about that that one media social blogosphere man who shall not be named during the post game or during overtime? Are we allowed to bring up this rumor that Eklund has been talking about?
Well, he just did, so. Wow.
Looking into this, but according to one source familiar with the situation, we may be getting some news tomorrow. Again, only one. So it's an E1 that there will be news tomorrow.
E1.
Which means that there isn't a chance in hell that we're going to hear anything. So.
Can this just stop, Ari?
I wish.
I like that equation.
Yeah, you like that?
Yeah, Brett Favre did come up.
Yeah.
That's
beautiful. I love that the Pens blog is the third result.
Yeah. Weird. I lost a follower because of that.
That's
probably Mike Draculich. So. Weird. I posted a very awesome GIF earlier of him taking contact. So you guys want to 14 hours ago, actually, now. So check that out on my Twitter feed. I'll put it back up.
Nah,
I'll
just go back and look at it.
Oh, fine.
Yeah, I saw it.
It's classic. It's one of my favorite gifts of all time now. That answers the question, who will be the first person to hit Sidney Crosby?
Apparently,
there's only 364 more days till next year's hockey season. Tryouts.
I don't know.
Jeez, Ken, well, you're slow.
I have no idea what's going on right now.
I gained a follower back. There we go.
There you go. You can thank my retweet for that. Right?
I'm going to retweet your retweet.
Okay. Look at this.
Freaking paradox.
Boom. Right back at
you. You retweeted my retweet? Of your retweet?
I don't even know that this can continue.
I think we're going to rip a hole in the universe.
I think the Twitter jail is going to lock us up for a few days.
Twitter police.
Hey, Columbus Blue Jackets won a game.
Yay!
Hallelujah!
My favorite part was watching that, and God, they are trying to sell hockey so hard in that market. It's embarrassing. For one, they had the Proclaimers playing playing in the arena, what it appeared to be anyway, whenever the Jackets scored their final goal.
Well, and two, they had all the dead animals from Zanesville on display.
Just on display in the concourse. God, that's gruesome.
They're all autographed by Mike Commodore.
It's Jack Hanna. And then lastly, right as the buzzer sounded, Jeff Rimmer, the Blue Jackets play-by-play guy, who is by far one of the most obnoxious people in the league, he got
that,
on the,
Jeremy Roenick?
Okay, well, in a different kind of – it's a different kind of obnoxious. They show a shot of the Blue Jackets bench. It's like, look at the smile on the faces of the Blue Jackets coaches. And you look, and Scott O'Neill just looks like he wants to kill himself on the bench. He's like, yeah, they won. But he's like, yeah, I have, like, seriously 3 weeks left in this job.
Hey, Ken, perhaps you can confirm this for me. When I went to Columbus last year, did they have some kind of gay cover band that plays during the game?
They have a different cover band every game, and they are almost always.
It was atrocious.
That's what I'm talking about. Why that they had.
I thought you meant that they were literally gay.
They didn't actually have the Proclaimers in the arena tonight, but they were dressed like the Proclaimers in that video, 500 Miles. They looked exactly like them, and I'm not sure what kind of music.
It was a Proclaimers cover band.
They
played one song over and over and over and over and over.
No. They weren't a Proclaimers cover band. They were a cover band that dresses like the Proclaimers.
Oh, that's a very specific niche, and about five people will remember that.
But that's everybody who was at the arena tonight, so it doesn't really make a difference.
Speaking of annoying people, have you guys seen the Brett Hall Twitter feed?
Oh, man.
How he's jobbing the Buffalo Sabres.
He's doing nothing but ragging the Buffalo Sabres fans. Did that profile picture. He's wearing the Brett Hall is a cheater t-shirt with his foot in the crease.
Well, he took that one down. Now it's just like a ukulele or a guitar or something on a wall sideways. I don't even know. But his Twitter feed's got a lot of potential.
Yeah, you know.
Apparently he gets it about as much as Jeremy Roenick. Should start jobbing fans.
Jeez. I have a feeling Brett Hall could be a lot more entertaining about it than Jeremy Roenick can, though.
Yeah. BornInBuffalo.com. BornInBuffalo.com. Best shirt ever. Awesome. I love the fact that he's wearing it. Just trolling hard.
Oh, yeah. Well, gentlemen, you ready for another matchup with the mighty Islanders on Thursday night?
Absolutely.
I think it's setting up. We have another show tomorrow night. How are we gonna prep this game? Is New York, are the Islanders going to be seeking revenge for their shutout loss? Is that how we're going to spin this?
I don't know. It should be interesting to see the lineup card that Kathy Lanner puts out on Thursday.
Yeah, that's totally different.
I find it weird that they don't do a morning skate.
I know.
Yeah, that was weird.
They have no testicles, that's why.
A lot of teams are starting to do that. They don't want to get tired of it.
Guy Boucher was a big advocate of that kind of philosophy with the Lightning last year. And, I mean, it seems to work out for them. It seems to be continuing to, but I don't know. Crosby, yeah, will play. At some point. We got to play the Lightning again sometime soon.
I'm expecting Brent Johnson maybe to have a – put Brent Johnson in.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Put DiPietro in. And
oh, Johnson and DiPietro.
Rock him, sock him in.
It'd be DiPietro's debut this season and then rock
his beard. How about his beard?
Yeah. What the heck?
If you're going to have a beard
that's
like
to
that –
protect his face.
Yeah.
Cushions
him
low.
And you know he just got a new mask.
Yeah. So you learn after –
he has to have a new face. On that new mask. So if you're going to grow a beard like that, why don't you get a beard painted on your mask so that when you put the – you get a – if you have a beard, just put the freaking beard on the mask. That's all I've got to say. Thank you for listening to the Pens Nation podcast.
Grizzly Adams.
Thank you for downloading. Thank you for sticking with us. Tomorrow night, we got
putting up
time, 11 to 11:30, and putting up with our tweets. And tune in tomorrow night, 11 o'clock, for Beard Nation.
And we'll play Coldplay all night.
All night. And drink coffee.
And wear scarves.
Scarves.
Scurvy.
Pirate scarves. Got to be over by now. Come on, Black.
It's not offensive, but it's...